Morning. Good to see all of you here today. Happy 4th of July. Happy 5th of July, I should say. Welcome to the 251st year of our nation. Hopefully you had a chance to celebrate last night and appreciated the fact that we had a little cooler weather once that storm went through and nobody had any damage or anything like that. It's an exciting time of year. You can tell that because all our families are on vacation, camping, doing whatever they're doing. So we're a little anemic, particularly during our second service at this time of year. But we'll get them all back. Tomorrow starts VBS. We can be involved in that. And then, of course, in a couple of weeks, Todd already mentioned this, but I wanted to get back to the church picnic at the end of the month. It is at Governor's Park in Bellefonte. It's not down in Milesburg. So that's a little bit of a change because they weren't available this year. But what I wanted to say is we would really appreciate some of you guys being able to help us with the logistics of getting out there and setting up. We bring our own barbecue, we bring our own equipment and tables and some things like that because we have so many folks there. And so we could really use a hand if you don't mind volunteering for that in a couple of weeks, getting the barbecue down there, getting the tables down there, maybe helping with cleanup and getting trash off-site and that sort of thing. We would appreciate your putting your name, your John Hancock, as we say, on the list that's out there in the foyer on your way out. And if you're averse to that, you know, it is like pulling teeth to get men to sign up on a list. I get that. You can just talk to me and I'll put you on the list, but it's nice to know it's covered before we get there. Our good folks that organize those things really do need a hand every once in a while, and we're trying to put the word out there for them. Have you ever known anybody with a bit of a sixth sense? You know, just that intuition. We're not talking about the movie. We're not talking about I See Dead People, Sixth Sense. But just that notion that, you know, that intuition, we call it, don't we? Where somebody sort of gets an indication that there's something else going on behind the scenes. My wife's really good at doing that in a conversation. I'm not very good at it at all. But, you know, we have these imperceptible. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We pick up on facial expressions and tone and maybe the wordage that's used, especially if we know somebody well and we can tell maybe when something's not quite right. Maybe you'll dig a little bit deeper. You know, we need to use that, I suppose, if the Lord has equipped us to use that. It's a normal way of perceiving things. But we also need to be careful, don't we, that we don't rely too much on our own intuition, because we can be mistaken. Studies from the Association for Psychological Science and others show that intuition can be helpful and informative in the right context, but relying solely on intuition can lead us to unwise decision-making. I can attest to that, not because somebody wrote it down and I read that quote, but because I have had plenty of unwise decision-making in my life. And some of that was based on poor intuition, perhaps. But understanding, you know, how the mind works, how we perceive things, how we pick up on nonverbal clues, for instance, and sense that there's something else going on, can be important to us as Christians. When we come to faith in Jesus, and when we become Christian believers, we are given the Holy Spirit. We're indwelled with that Holy Spirit. And Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit is in us to be a helper to us, to assist us in this life. And one of the ways that the Spirit helps us is to prompt us, just quietly prompt us. Now, you know, sometimes prompting us is, you know, that feeling you get when you realize, I still have some bad habits in my life that the Spirit is convicting me of. I've got some sin in my life that I'm convicted of. Now, you know, when we first come to Jesus, we're so happy to be forgiven of all of our sins, and He does that completely. But as we move on from that, every day, every week, every month, we realize, wow, there's more here to work on than I realized, right? And that's the Holy Spirit prompting us in that, to help us to understand, yeah, there's some sin that we need to deal with, some habits here. Some of them not good habits that we need to get rid of, some of them habits that we need to form and be better at, you know, reading Scripture perhaps and praying. And sometimes the Spirit prompts us in more surprising ways, in ways that we didn't expect. Like when you get the sense that you should pray for somebody you haven't really thought of for a while. And then you realize, perhaps later, that, wow, that was the moment I needed to pray for them. Or maybe you're prompted to reach out and call somebody or text them. Or whatever it is that we do today, to reach out to somebody that perhaps the Spirit put on our minds. And maybe even more radical prompts from the Holy Spirit, like being called into ministry full-time. Or even being called to become a foreign missionary and live overseas, those crazy people. So as we continue our study in the book of Acts, we're reminded that Jesus had a commission. He had an assignment for the church, and all the people that would come to him as believers, become Christians after him, is in Acts chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, your device there, turn to the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts all day. Well, not all day. I don't want to scare you. Just for the next, 5 minutes or 50. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Is kind of our theme verse. And this is Jesus talking to his followers, and he says these words: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that's kind of where we get our theme for this message series. And we've learned a lot about that commission in the past several weeks. If you've been here for any of those studies, you might remember that first one where Jesus tells his followers, "I've got this mission for you, but I want you to wait." And what are they waiting on? They're waiting for the Spirit to come. This is what we begin with. Jesus says, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You've got to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, which will live inside of you. By chapter 4, the early church took that pretty seriously, and they start spreading the word around, and they get themselves in a little hot water, and they have a dangerous prayer as a church. And that prayer is, "Lord, in the face of this persecution, we're not praying for deliverance or protection. We are praying for boldness to keep doing it, no matter how many times they arrest us or beat us or imprison us or worse." By chapter 8, we see Philip's story there. Philip had escaped Jerusalem under persecution that got worse and had a brilliant ministry going on in Samaria. Lots of people in the city coming to faith, and he was, by our even modern standards, hey, this is a pastor that's really successful, built a big church. And the Holy Spirit interrupts him and says, "I want you to go out in the middle of the desert. I want you to find this desert road, and I'm going to tell you once you get there what to do." And Philip obeyed. When he got out there, he encounters this Ethiopian eunuch, and he allows his story to be interrupted by what the Spirit felt was more important. I don't know that there's a direct link, because we don't know that historically yet, but I suspect that that's how the message of Jesus came so early to the African nation of Ethiopia. And the church there is very old, perhaps because Philip obeyed the Spirit and did what the Spirit told him to do. Last week, we had this excellent message from Owen Dekow about what happened in Acts chapter 10. You might remember that. This shocking news that the message of Jesus was also intended for the Gentiles. Anytime we come across the word Gentile in Scripture, that's all it means is somebody who's not a Jew, who's not an Israelite. And the Jews spent a long, long time concentrating on themselves as God's chosen people. And so Peter had to get out of that mindset. And the Spirit interrupted his life to help him understand, you're going to go to this Gentile's house, and he's going to respond to the gospel, and he's going to become a Christian, and the people living with him as well. So as we move ahead this morning, I want to pause for just a second, because, one of the things I love about our church is that we're made up of people from all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of church backgrounds. Some of you have been a Christian longer than I've been alive, right? And some of you are just dabbling here and saying, I don't even know if this is for me or not. And you don't know much about the Bible. And that's okay. I love having all of that in the same room. But one of the things we have to do occasionally is recognize, for those of you who might be a little bit better read in your Scripture, I understand, so don't write me emails, that we're skipping over a lot of things in the book of Acts. There's a lot of significant moments. You'll notice that when Owen took Acts chapter 10 last week, we skipped over the whole story of the Apostle Paul becoming a believer. And there's a reason for that. It's not because we're taking a survey of the book of Acts. What we're really paying attention to, what we're trying to focus in on, is this mission that Jesus left with the early church and what they did with that, how they reacted, the surprises that they found along the way, the adjustments they had to make in their own faith journey. All of these have to do with us today because we're a church as well. We are not that early church, but we face the same sort of calling and the same perhaps surprises along the way as God grows us, not in numbers, but in maturity in him. We want to pay attention to that. So we're not saying that those moments in Acts that are highlighted are not crucial to the story, but we're looking as a church to take the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. How do we do that? And these are monumental moments that we're having a look at in the life of the church that changed the trajectory of the church and the mission that they had. So the Holy Spirit's power within us, not our power alone. That was the first lesson we learned. The transformation of our prayers from that of, oh Lord, protect me and deliver me and give me everything I want, to messages of prayer that are like, Jesus, do whatever you want with my life. Just help me do it boldly. Our willingness to be interrupted in our daily earthly lives with the earthly moments so that we can pay attention to the kingdom moments in our lives. And the tearing down of our prejudices. That's a hard word to say, prejudices. In order to really know that the kingdom is offered to everybody, everywhere, all the time. It is universal in its invitation. And so we have to be as well. So today's passage, I knew I'd get there. Today's passage plops us right down into what we call Paul's second missionary journey. If you've ever read the book of Acts, it's filled with these journeys, the back half of it, that Paul makes these journeys around and comes back home. He makes a second one, comes around home, then he makes a third one, comes around home. We're right in the middle of the second one that he took for a reason here. His companions have been spreading news, and they've been planting on the first missionary journey churches throughout what we call Turkey, or we used to call Turkey. Since the World Cup happened, we call it Turkey, apparently. Have you ever heard them? You're not paying attention to the World Cup, some of you, huh? Apparently, we changed the pronunciation of that. So, in November, we're all going to gather around the Thanksgiving table and partake of the turkey that we bake together. Okay, that was a bad joke. That was a dad joke. So he's planning in this country called Turkey, these nations. And by the end of chapter 15 of the book of Acts, Paul takes off a second time, and he wants to visit those churches that he's planted, as well as talk to some new people. But we read something a little bit mysterious, and that's what I wanted to pause for. In Acts chapter 16, so you can turn there, because we're going to be there most of the rest of the time. Acts chapter 16, verse 6, we read these words. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now, aside from impressing you that I can pronounce all of those names, which I know is going through your brain, there's something more going on there, because you notice that Paul and his companions seem to be hearing instructions along the way. They seem to be getting messages from the Holy Spirit. And what's that all about? We don't know how, because he doesn't stop and explain everything to us, but he does say that the Lord seems to close the doors sometimes. You ever had that happen? Sometimes we think we know what the Lord's telling us to do. We know who he wants to share the gospel with. We know who ought to get there behind into church and sit next to us, right? We want that so much for them, and sometimes the Lord closes the door on that. And I don't know why. I don't have God's omniscience. So I don't understand how all of that works. But I know if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, we accept those things that God puts in our lives, those barriers, as well as the open doors, because we understand that he is writing a grand story here that we don't always get to know. So that seems to be what's going on here. But it does seem to be a little bit more in Paul's case than intuition. He's not just using his perception here. The Spirit's interrupting him, directing his journey in a profound way. So instead of asking how it did it, the Holy Spirit, we probably ought to ask the better question of why. Why does the Spirit seem to be keeping them from going where they intended to go? There is a point to all this madness here. It takes us a long time, I know, to sometimes get there. But look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. We seem to be getting a little clue here in how the Spirit's intervening, how the Spirit's communicating with them. This is a vision. This is not the same as a dream. It's not Paul went, you know, to catch a good 8 hours and had something weird happen, woke up and said, "I wonder if this means something." That's not this kind of message. This kind of message is direct. Paul gets a vision of a man in Macedonia calling them over. And as we continue to trace Paul's steps, we see that he winds up in a city called Philippi. And there's a reason that the Spirit interrupts here. This man is in Macedonia calling them over. You have any idea where Macedonia is at, located? You have a map in your Bible? Any clue this morning? Maybe you do and you just don't want to speak up and show off. I realize that. Macedonia is in Europe. Right? So this is God calling them into the continent of Europe. For the very first time, the message of Jesus would be spoken on the European continent. So he winds up in a town called Philippi. Look at verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Whenever Paul goes to a new city, he goes into that city and he immediately seeks out the synagogue. This is the Jewish synagogue, the place of prayer for the Israelites. He goes there first, because he wants to convey the good news of Jesus Christ to the very people that Jesus Christ came from. It goes first to the Jews, and he wants to start there as a base. Oftentimes, he gets himself kicked out of the synagogue, and he gets persecuted, and he has to figure out some other way. But that's the modus operandi of Paul when he goes into a new city. When he got to Philippi, we're no longer in Kansas, right? They don't have a synagogue in Philippi. This is a Roman city. This is in Europe. And so when he goes, he realizes, yeah, there's no synagogue there. So when it says he goes down to the river, supposing that there might be a place of prayer, that's because that's the normal practice of the handful of Jews that might be in the city of Philippi. He goes down there to look for the Jewish people. When he gets down there, what he finds is a bunch of women. I say that a little bit salty for a reason. We'll get to that in a minute. Don't hold it against me. But he finds down there a bunch of women. And not only a bunch of women, he finds one of them who is Lydia, who is a worshiper of God, it says in there. When he says that, it means that she was not a Jew. She was Greek. She was a non-Jew. She was a Gentile. That's more accurate. So, you know, there's a lot packed into what's going on there, but let's just start out by saying what the Jerusalem Talmud said. The Jerusalem Talmud is pretty old. It's just a commentary on the rest of Jewish scripture. And I want to quote it this morning. It says this: "It is better that the words of the law be burned than be delivered to a woman." So there's a little bit of a prejudice, perhaps, against women. You can smile at that man, but don't laugh. That's not a laughing matter. This was, of course, the culture, not necessarily the Roman Empire, but it was the culture of the Jewish religion at the time. So don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what all this kind of means. To say that women were not highly regarded in Jewish religious culture is a little bit of an understatement. And this woman, who is not even a Jew herself, is the one that responds. And she's a dealer of purple, which probably means she made some money. And we kind of know that she was a successful businesswoman because she has her own house and invites them all. Let's all go back to my house and you can stay with me. So, the first Christian converted in Europe was a single, wealthy, non-Jewish female business owner who brought Paul and his companions into her own home and very likely started the very first church on the European continent in her home, because that's where they typically met. And later, Paul would write these words to Lydia and the church. There was a whole book written to this church right in our New Testament. It says this in Philippians 1, starting at verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That first day was likely down by the river. And I am sure of this, he says in verse 6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Encouraging words from Paul to a companion in the ministry of the gospel. This is elevated. This woman, Lydia, and her whole household and the church there elevated them in the body of Christ. They are important members to him. And some scholars even believe that Luke, who was the one that wrote the book of Acts, might have been from Philippi. And he didn't get converted there. He met Jesus somewhere else and became Paul's companion along the way somehow. But wouldn't that be just the way the Lord works? That Luke is able to see the gospel come to his own hometown and a church be planted there. It's encouraging. You know, I'm not very good at intuition. And sometimes when I've tried to rely on intuition, I realize I was dead wrong about something or someone. I don't know if you've had that experience. But I can develop the ability to listen and to follow the Holy Spirit. When Paul wrote these words to the early churches, he wrote these words in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That might be a verse you're familiar with, but what does that really mean? I'm going to read that again in a slightly different translation. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Listen, the secret to hearing and following the Spirit's prompting in our lives is to live by the Spirit in all other parts of our lives. Everything. That doesn't mean we do it perfectly. So if you're feeling that pressure, so am I. We're fellow travelers in this, and I've messed it up more times than I care to count. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't push ourselves to be more like Jesus every day. The more that I'm obedient to how Jesus wants me to live, the more in tune with the Holy Spirit I will become. That's just how that relationship works. And the more I hang on to my old way of living, my old habits, my old sins, my old nature, the more challenging it's going to be for me to hear the Holy Spirit, let alone follow his leading. It's just that simple. It's just that it's difficult sometimes to live out. So I wonder where you're at this morning. Are you responding to the gospel for the first time the way that Lydia did when she heard the good news that day? She heard Paul and she immediately gave her life to Christ. She immediately got baptized. She immediately joined the church because it started right there in her living room. And you can follow Jesus today as well. You can get baptized today. Believe me, we'll get that done. Not a problem. We can baptize you on Baptism Sunday too. You can go sign up in the foyer to and we'll have a chat about what your next steps are. We'd love for that to happen. You can join a church today. And if you're already a follower of Jesus, it's really important that we understand together the difference between being saved by Jesus and making Jesus Lord of every one of those areas. When he's my Lord, I'll bend every part of my life to become more like Jesus because he saved me. And I want to live the way he asked me to live. And the more that happens, the better I can listen to him. And the more I listen to him, the better I can follow him. And by following him, even when it's daring, even when it's dangerous, that is the only way to truly live. Let's pray together. Father God, we're so fascinated with Scripture, and we thank you so much for the book of Acts, where we could read about the early church and the challenges that they faced, which are more intense, perhaps, than what we often face, but that doesn't mean we don't face similar challenges in our own lives and journeys. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that if there's anyone in the room who has never committed their life to you, Father, that this may be the moment, this may be the day. And Father, for those of us who are trying to listen to your voice better every single day, help us to understand how to give our lives over, every area of our lives, over to you. And it's a work in progress, and it doesn't always look great, Father. We need plenty of time, and we need your patience, Father, but that doesn't mean that you give up ever on refining us. Father, we pray that you would help us here in this place to be a church who listens to what the Holy Spirit is saying and obeys where you lead. We believe that Jesus is the head of the church. And we believe, Father, that Jesus is the head of every life that is given over to him and ransomed by him. And Father, we truly believe that when we live our lives out that way, when we love others in the radical way you've called us to, when we listen to your voice and obey it in our lives, Father, that's when the world will know that we're your disciples. We belong to you, and we're living the best way we can for Jesus. Accomplish that in us today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.